We have such a good and great and wonderful God. And I'm just so thankful there's a God in heaven. And I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to share the word of the Lord with you again tonight. Begin taking your Bible, if you will, right there at home and find the book of 2 Peter. I've entitled this message, When God Says That's Enough. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 will help us. And while you're turning there, let me say to you that God is good, God is love, God is gracious, God is full of mercy, He's full of compassion. These words flow out over our ears like a cool breeze on a hot day. We find great comfort in these character traits of God. And let's face it, we all like to be comforted. It's seen in the way in which we live and the lengths we'll go to avoid pain. We love to hear about the love, mercy, and the grace of Almighty God. Amen. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to begin to look at verse 8. You know, we're living in the end times. And if you want to know what the end times are going to be like, let me encourage you to listen to our Wednesday evening prophecy hour messages, because God is speaking to us about the world in which we're living. Because we're living in the end times, we know that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And so God says to us here in 2 Peter, beginning in verse 3, or chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now we love to hear about the mercy, the grace, and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we don't like hearing about oftentimes in the world in which we're living today is that God is just, God is righteous. These words don't sit easily with us. They make us uncomfortable. Let's face it, most folks just plain don't like hearing about God's justice and God's righteousness. But it's a side of God's character that we cannot deny, nor can we ignore it. There will come a time when the Lord God says, that's enough. And I pray I can help us to understand this clearly tonight. Listen, God is patient, and our scripture told us so. But God's patience, God's mercy, and God's compassion does have a limit. Our text tells us so. A.W. Tozer, a noted Bible theologian, wrote regarding this, and I quote, God's compassion flows out of His goodness, and goodness without justice is not goodness. God spares us because He is good, but He could not be good if He were not just. God's justice stands forever against the sinner in utter severity. The value and tenuous hope that God is too kind to punish the ungodly has become a deadly opiate for their conscience of millions. It hushes their fears and allows them to practice all pleasant forms of iniquity, while death draws every day nearer and the command to repent goes unregarded. As responsible moral beings, we dare not trifle with our eternal future. And Solomon wrote in Proverbs 29:1, He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And I want you to note that the words written here clearly convey both a warning and a Chalmers. In this verse, God is clearly revealing truth about Himself as well as about men in the text that we read. God is speaking about a particular kind of person here. He's speaking about the lost man or woman who hears God's word and refuses to respond. But He's also talking about a Christian here as well who has become deaf as a result of their own stubborn willfulness. And God says that such a person, after much reproof, will be broken suddenly, because there is no remedy for their stubborn willfulness. And I just want you to ponder the severity of those words, if you will, because such statements in Scripture are rare. Oftentimes, God's pronouncements of judgment are followed by offers of grace and mercy, but not here. Not here. 2 Peter 3:9 reminds us that God is patient. And oh, we can be thankful for the patience of God. God is patient because He understands our makeup. He knows we are imperfect. We were created from the dust of the earth. That's why He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth and to die on the cross of Calvary. He stands ready to forgive us and to forgive our confessed sins and to restore us to a right relationship with Him. But in Proverbs 29:1, we find none of that. And here's why. This offense has reached the point of no return. It is beyond remedy. The case here is terminal. I want to read that verse again. He, the being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It's beyond remedy. It's terminal. And has reached the point where God says, that's enough. Listen, in your life and in mine, it is possible to get to the point where God says, that's enough. I find another example of this in the book of Proverbs in verses 12 through 15. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eye. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Now I don't know about you, but I'm of the opinion that when God says something once in His Word, that's very important. But when God says it twice, we better pay close attention because it's of the utmost importance. And God is saying to us from His Word tonight that there will come a time for those who stubbornly refuse to listen. That's enough. You're not going to go any farther. It's enough. And all family and friends, when that moment arrives, calamity will come suddenly, as Peter wrote, like a thief in the night. And again, these words are not just for the lost. They're also given to the child of God to ponder. You say, well, why would they be given to the child of God to ponder? Well, we think we can play games with God at times. We think we can skirt around and God won't find out. We think we can make excuses for poor behavior. And listen to me. God does not play games with us. This is His Word. He expects us to obey it. He expects us to get our life in line with it. And God is patient with us. And God gives us time because He knows our human condition. But ultimately, every man, woman, or child has got to decide what they're going to do with the Word of God. And we all know that people love to play games. Now there are four examples I'm going to share with you from God's Word tonight that proves the point that God does not play games with us, and it proves the point that there does come a time when God says, that's enough. You're not going to go any farther. And the first example that I want to point to is Sodom and Gomorrah. With infinite patience and grace, Almighty God allowed these cities to exist until, given the immorality and the perversion and the moral pollution of their citizens, and I know it sounds like I'm describing America today, with our depravity and our perversions and our moral pollution, but it's not just America, is it, friends? It's all over the world. And God gave them time, infinite patience, and God gave them grace, and God gave them mercy. But ultimately, His patience reached its limit because of their stubborn refusal to hear His voice through the preaching of Lot. Their stubborn refusal grew to such proportion that God finally said of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's enough, they'll go no farther. And the Bible tells us that God took Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day God is going to take His church out of this world, and He's going to rain down that great tribulation hour. And God rained down fire and brimstone on these cities until the Bible teaches that they were literally no more. God's justice came suddenly, just as Peter said, like a thief in the night. They just thought everything was going to go on like it's always been going on. After all, you know, nothing's happened yet. That's how a lot of people live their life. Nothing's happened yet. Oh, I've been hearing about that Jesus for years, and He ain't come yet. He ain't done nothing yet. I just go on and live how I want. I'll go on and just do the things that come naturally. But the Bible says there comes a time when God says that's enough, and it's going to come suddenly. It's going to come like a thief in the night because their condition was beyond remedy. They were not going to repent. They were not going to turn. They were not going to hear God. And that may describe you tonight as you listen to this message. You may be in that position right now where you have refused to hear God. You refuse to listen to God. You don't want to hear an old preacher like me preach the Word of God. And you just don't want to hear about God. And we're living in a world like that today. We're living in a world that wants God out of the world so we can go ahead and do everything that we want. And again, the chaos that surrounds us in every major city and all over the world today is speaking about this one fact: man wants his way, not God's way. And their condition was beyond remedy. Thank God, God is patient, God is good, God is loving, God is kind, because if you're within earshot of this message, your condition is not beyond remedy. There is a God who stands ready to forgive you if you will repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Him and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day of grace. Grace means that you don't get what you deserve. Grace means that we get all of God's riches at Christ's expense. But it does come with a price, and that price is repentance, and you must be willing to repent of your sin and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I pray that you do. Because the Bible tells us that no man knows the day or the hour. No man knows when the Lord may call him home. No man knows when the Lord will call him to account. But friend, we all know that there could come a day, because the Bible says it, the Bible teaches it, when God could look at you and say, that's enough, you will go no farther. The second example I want to give to you is the example of Herod Agrippa the First. His demise is not a happy one. And God's Word tells us about it in Acts chapter 12, verses 21 to 23. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a God and not of man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. The Jewish historian Josephus writes that Herod was dressed in silver-lined garments, and the early morning sun was reflecting brightly off his garments. As he stood there in his earthly splendor, the people began calling him a god, and Herod accepted their praise and their worship, and God said, "That's enough." Because God reminds us that God has said in His Word, "I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory I will not give to another." Isaiah 42 and 8. And suddenly, just as Peter spoke about in the text that we read, destruction came like a thief in the night, and God struck Herod because he refused to bow and to give glory to God. And Josephus tells us about this, the Jewish historian. He writes that he had to be carried to his bedchamber, and for 5 days he lived with relentless pain until he died. It is a dangerous thing to turn a deaf ear to the Lord our God. It is a dangerous thing to disregard this holy word, this book, this Bible. And yet, you know, as I stand here and preach, there are people all over the world who are disregarding this word, who are saying that, well, God doesn't know our times, that this word is outdated, it's old-fashioned, it doesn't say what I like, so I need to change it. But my friend, God has spoken, this is His word, and we must live according to His word. You may not like hearing that. Well, let me just say to you, frankly, I don't care. I love hearing it because I want to live according to this word, and I pray that you would too, because one day you're going to leave this earth. One day you're going to be judged according to this word. Don't ever think you'll get away without being judged according to this word, because this word will stand eternal. God has already said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So you may be making all kinds of comments. You may be spitting and sputtering at home. Friend, you just need to get your life in line with God. A third example I have is the nation of Judah. The chronicler wrote in 2 Chronicles 36, 11 through 16, and this is important. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abomination of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his word, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. For over 300 years, the nation of Judah had been living under one godless monarch after another, rebelling against God. They mocked the prophets that God had sent, In much the same way, people mock the preachers and teachers of the Word of God today. It got to the point where God's patience ran out with His own people, and we read those words, no remedy. At a terminal condition. And God said, that's enough. You can go into captivity. And under Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom took over God's people and took them into exile in 586 B.C. And for the next 70 years, they dwelt as slaves and as captives in Babylon. Simply because God doesn't play games with us, friends. And there will come a time when God says, that's enough. We find this again in our fourth example of Ahab and Jezebel. They stubbornly refused to listen to God's word as it was delivered to them by God's prophet Elijah. And these two are characteristic of so many today who seem to think that God is going to overlook my sin. In spite of all the exposure that they have had to the miraculous workings of God, they hardened their hearts. This godless king and queen killed the prophets of God. They bowed down to the false god of Baal. They led the nation into idol worship. Their government was a godless administration, one that was filled with murder, filled with perversion, and the day came when God had enough. I ask you a question tonight. How many parents out there have had children? You have a child. Has there ever come a time in your raising of that child when you've had to discipline that child because you said, that's enough? You know there has been. And because you and I have done it, why should we think that God wouldn't do it? After all, He is our Heavenly Father. And so there could come a time when God says, that's enough. That there would be no more opportunities. And friend, God says that about Ahab and Jezebel. There is not going to be any more opportunities because there's not going to be any remedy. They're not going to repent. They have turned a deaf ear to God. They have stiffened their neck. They have hardened their heart. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 21, verses 17 through 19, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. Now, I know you'll agree, that doesn't sound pleasant or compassionate, nor should it. Those are the words of a just God when His patience reaches its just end. God does not play games with us. God is not mocked. Many people think they can live a life that just mocks God and what God has said in His Word. And I'm here to tell you, you will never get away with mocking what God has said in His Word. Friends, this is His Word. I can't stress it enough. You and I one day are going to be judged by this Word. The Bible tells us whatsoever a man sows, that he's also going to reap. I wonder how many listening out there today are familiar with the name Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe was a famous actress in the late 50s and the early 60s. And during the presentation of one of her shows, Billy Graham, the great evangelist, went to visit her. And she had been put on his heart. And he went and he visited her and he told her, "The Spirit of God has sent me to preach to you." And after hearing what Billy Graham had shared with her about her need of salvation and her need to repent, she looked at Billy Graham and she said, "I do not need your Jesus." Her words said all we need to know about her heart's condition. It was beyond repair. There was no hope. She had a terminal condition. And 1 week later, Marilyn Monroe was found dead in her apartment. You do not know, as you listen to this message, if this will be the last opportunity for you to get your heart right with God. Don't trifle with God. He does not play games. If God is speaking to you, repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I will say it again. Grave danger comes to the man or woman who turns a deaf ear to God, His Word, and thinks that they can mock Him. Several years ago, in Campinas, Brazil, a group of friends, drunk, went to pick up a friend. The mother accompanied her daughter to the car. She was so worried about the drunkenness of her friends, she said to her daughter, who was already seated in the car, while the mama was reaching in and holding her hand, "My daughter, go with God, and may He protect you." Her daughter responded flippantly, "Only if God travels in the trunk, because there's no room in here." Hours later, news came that that car had been involved in a fatal accident. Everyone in that car was dead, and the car could not be recognized as the type of car that it had been. But surprisingly, the trunk was intact. And the police said that there was no way that that trunk could have remained intact. And to their surprise, they discovered a crate of eggs in that trunk, and not one of those eggs had been broken. Suddenly, like a thief in the night, God said, "That's enough for a whole group of teenagers." And this all goes to show us that God can and God will lose His patience with cities, with individuals, and entire nations. And God will say, "That's enough." And as we look at the condition of America today, as we look at what is going on in the streets of all of our major cities on this particular weekend, at this particular time, after already enduring all of this pandemic, could it be that we are coming down to that point and that place in time when God says, "That's enough for America"? One thing I can tell you, the America that we all knew growing up is not the America that we know today. Our nation has changed. It is ripe with perversion. It's ripe with immorality. It's ripe with every kind of evil under the sun. As we think about these things, we can discover that there are three solemn and sobering reminders for us to consider. First, there is an end to God's patience, and no one knows when it will come. God's wheels grind slowly, don't they? But grind they do, and exceedingly fine. God in great patience and mercy waits for us to hear His voice and obey. And people hear the message of salvation, and yet they will not respond. And yet God waits. Some claim His name, but they live in a way that says otherwise. And still, God waits. And Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 8 and 1, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them that do evil. Perhaps that's the reason why we feel we can get away with sin, why we feel we can mock God, why we feel we don't need to heed God's word. I don't know. But God's wheels just grind away patiently and slowly. And every day, the condition of your heart is being revealed unto God. God knows your heart thoroughly, friend. And I don't know if that's the answer or not, but what I do know is that every time you or I fail to obey God's word, we are sure trying His patience. Do you realize the Bible says in Psalm 7:11 that God is angry with the wicked every day? Perhaps because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, it's the reason for the excuses people give to stay away from God, to disobey God, to mock God. And yet even when their heart's convicted, they just keep rolling out the excuses, excusing wrong on the basis of delayed punishment. When folks get away with a sin or a series of sins and see no immediate consequences, they think, ha, I'm all right. That God don't know nothing. He ain't going to do anything. But they don't realize that that could very well be the last day they'll get away with it. You see, we have Sodom and Gomorrah. We have Agrippa, we have Judah, we have Ahab and Jezebel, we have those teenagers in that car. We've got all kinds of people we could point to, all kinds of evidence of people who thought they were going to get away with it, but they didn't. They didn't respond. You and I do not know at what point God will reach His divine limit with us. We do not know if we continue to try God's patience when God is going to say, that's enough. What we do know from His Word and from His dealings with Sodom and Gomorrah, Herod, Judah, and Ahab and Jezebel is that God's patience does run out. Don't be fooled tonight into thinking that God's long-suffering is everlasting suffering. Second, God keeps His promise and no one stops it. The Lord is patient with us. Why? Because 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But we will not get away with sin for forever. He will not let us because He is a holy, a just, and a righteous God. And again, His word says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. If you are a child of God, He will not cast you out of His family. But if you are stubbornly refusing to obey Him, continuing to walk in your own way, He will bring severe discipline upon you in the hopes that you would repent. He loves you too much to ignore your actions. God can quickly remove you from this earth or take from you the joy of your life. He may even, as He did with the Corinthian Christians, siphon your strength and health so that you become weak and sickly. And some of them, the Bible tells us, because of their carnality, tragically died. Listen, one of the great hindrances to repentance is comparing ourselves to others, and that's what we do. That's part of the human condition. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. The other great hindrance is procrastination. Now, one day I'm going to do it. One day I'll go down there and receive Jesus. One day I'll get my heart right. Friends, procrastination is easily seen through the disguise of the flimsy excuse we give for not doing what God is calling us to do tonight. These two, comparison and procrastination, lend themselves to placing men upon the devil's sharpest tool, delay. There is an end to God's patience. No one knows it. God keeps His promise and no one stops it. Knowing this should lead us to embrace the third sobering truth tonight. God acknowledges humility and no one should refuse it. James said, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Why should we submit? Because God is good, and a good God loves nothing more than to receive a broken heart. God loves to forgive sin, and God loves to forget sin. God wants to take your sin and bury it in the grave of His forgetfulness. God is gracious. God is plenteous in mercy. He needs abounding in compassion toward men and women who will hear and obey Him. If you will hear God, the Bible tells us, and obey His voice, you will never have to fear hearing God say to you, that's enough. But woe to the man, woman, or child who hears and refuses to heed God's word. God is good, but He's also just. And if you refuse to repent, friend, you have a terminal condition. There is no remedy for you. Family and friends, the Bible tells us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And someday, when you least expect it, suddenly, like a thief in the night, calamity will come and you will be doomed. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:7, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't play games with God. Because God doesn't play games with you. Don't walk away from God. Because God stands ready to receive you. But these two truths should also remind us that God always wins. God created the world. God created you. And God created me. And to help us live in this world, God gave us this word. And God goes according to this word, because one day this world is going to pass away. But God's word will never pass away. Don't be one of those people who lives like the examples we've given here tonight, so that God would have to say to you, that's enough. If you think you can get away with it, if you think you can ignore this message, just the very fact that you've heard it, friend, one day you're going to stand before God, God's going to bring it back to your ears, He's going to bring it back to your mind. Don't be one of those people who refuse to hear it, who refuse to obey it, who refuse to listen, so that one day, because of your refusal, God says, that's enough. And for you, the fires of hell will be waiting. And the two hollowest words in hell that will be heard in that place of weeping, of mourning, of torment, are going to be these words, if only. If only I'd listen to that old preacher when he was preaching about God in a time when God might say, that's enough, I wouldn't be here right now. There's no repentance in hell. There's no grace in hell. Today is the day of grace. Today, if you will repent of your sin, today, do not harden your heart. Today is your opportunity. Don't be like that teenage girl who flippantly said, the only place God could ride is in the trunk. Today is the day. Don't you miss it. Don't you fail to step out and receive His grace. Father, we thank You for Your word to us tonight. We thank You, Father, for Your abundant mercy. Just the very fact, Father, that You've given us opportunity to hear this message. and to respond to this message. Let us know, Father God, that in your mercy, in your grace, in your love, in your compassion, you have allowed our ears to hear this message. And Lord, you've given us an opportunity to respond to your word. And Lord, I pray most specifically for that lost soul and that disobedient Christian to come and to know and to understand they will not get away with it. They dare not trifle with you, Lord. You are a holy God. And I pray that the lost man would repent, the lost woman, the lost child would repent and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that they would do it without delay, that they would do it speedily, that right now, wherever they are, they would be on their knees and they would be crying out and they might be saying, "Oh Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Oh Lord, thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for your mercy to me. Oh Lord, you didn't have to be merciful. Father, I've heard your word before, but I didn't respond. I laughed at you. I mocked you. I laughed at the preacher who spoke the word. But Father, I've come to understand that without you, there is no hope for me. And oh Lord, I don't want you to say that's enough over my life. Father, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Lord, will you forgive me? I repent of my sin. And Lord, I want to receive you tonight. Lord, just come into my heart and to be my Lord and my Savior. And save me, Jesus, save me." And if you prayed that prayer, friend, I want you to know that Jesus Christ now lives in you. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like you to call the church or write to the church to let someone know that today is the day. Tonight is the night when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the reason I want you to call or write to the church is so that we can send you information so that you can have a book to read about the decision you just made and to cement that in your heart. That disobedient child of God that's been mocking God and living a life of to self and self alone, I want you to know that through your repentance that Christ would receive you. He will restore you. He's brought you to this point that the years that the locusts have eaten will be passed away and the best for you is yet to come. And I pray that you'll reach out and grab the best. The best is yet to come when you know Jesus Christ. The best is yet to come, friend, because heaven is awaiting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.